Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the morning edition
of the Safety Third Podcast, Japan Edition.
Before we start, I would like to apologize to Kevin for sneezing on him last night.
I'm only kind of sick now. Also, we lost Nigel. We don't know where he went, but we have Charlie.
He died.
Now.
Nigel died.
We've got a robot now, so that's cool.
You know when you're like, you like, there's that the panic before you like you have to sneeze and your brain's not working great because you're just trying to figure something out. I was trying to put my mask on, and I wasn't fast enough, and I sneezed on Kevin.
But also, you sneeze in the mask if you have to sneeze and you're wearing a mask. Because I don't. That's just, I can't, I usually take it off, which you're probably not supposed to do.
I mean, it sounds like the exact opposite of why you wear a mask.
But then nobody wants to sneeze in their mask. You get Johnny again. Nigel do be looking pretty swole.
Is that gum?
I just chewed the gum. He finally has arms.
Johnny has Gundam arms now. They're attached on with gum. Sit. God, this thing is so. There we go. Can we give him the sword?
I don't know if the gum will support it. Here, this is the hand that has the sword.
It barely supports. Actually, I really don't want to touch that. Ew, you got your gum all over his torso. No, wait, I have an idea.
Yeah, well, hold on.
No, I want to execute my idea.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, that's where the gun goes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he needs a gun head.
He needs a gun head. Ew, I touched the gum! This is our robot, Chari. He's a very, 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 very crappy robot. Isn't that right, Chari? No, let him fall. Let him fall.
He's thinking about it.
Don't worry, we have no idea what he's saying either.
So what is Charlie? How? Because I never got to play with Charlie. Will and Alan have some kind of backstory with Charlie. Did we already talk about this?
I think this might be the worst podcast on the internet.
Slowly sliding down his body.
I like Charlie.
Like a slug crawling down a wall.
It's our last full day in Japan, and we need to talk about the things that we've done.
So we're going to take you on a trip.
A journey.
Of external discovery. Because it's our journey,
and
not yours.
And internal...
I don't know what we're supposed to talk about, because we have this stupid robot, but if this podcast comes out before the video with the stupid robot, it's not going to make any sense. What are the chances that we get our challenge video out? You think we could get it before this podcast? So if we're able to finish editing the video that we filmed with this stupid robot, then this will make a lot more sense. But basically, Charlie is an emotional support robot, and we did a challenge where we received him to help us with the challenge without realizing that he was actually completely useless for the challenge.
Yeah, we were trying to get the biggest boobs up the highest place that we possibly could.
So there were two teams. It was me and Alan versus Nigel and Kevin.
Yeah.
And we were competing to do what Alan just said. Biggest boobs, tallest location.
Yeah, and then do we have to censor this if it's in the bag?
It was called the OP up high.
Is it clear that it's a torso, human torso in a garbage bag without getting too much into what it looks like?
How clear is it?
It's pretty blurred.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Hey, look at that. Perfect.
Anyway.
So just use your imaginations for what's in that garbage bag.
this is a special effect.
Practical effect.
So long story short, we did a challenge in Japan where we had to buy something and take it somewhere tall. And Alan and I lost the initial competition, which was guessing how tall the Sky Tree was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the tallest building in Tokyo. Is it the tallest?
Yeah, I think we said it was something like
6,000 meters tall.
Yeah, like 2,000 kilometers or something like that.
And so our prize for losing that was a guide robot, which turned out to be an emotional support robot. So we spent half of our time trying to get the damn robot to work until we realized that it actually was not helpful. And then
Now he's cool.
Now he's cool.
He didn't look nearly as cool before. But he also didn't have arms until just now.
I can't believe how well the sword fits right into his nose.
The looks people gave us, though, when we were running around with this robot...
It was not good. Not good looks.
No. Like, no maps, no nothing. We had to figure out where to go, where to buy something, how to get really high, and we asked people questions. It was a total disaster.
Did you ask, how do I get high?
No, we didn't. Did you ask it?
No.
We asked some poor Japanese woman to please speak English.
Right, so we realize at this point that the robot's not helping us at all. I think we were like 20 or 30 minutes in. And we go down into the subway because we know that we have to get to a city or the town or what the district over.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's where they sell the biggest booba. And so I pull out my phone. I've got Google Translate open. But the previous thing I had on Google Translate was, please speak English, because I was trying to figure out if I could get this robot to speak English, which... spoilers, he does not speak English. So I whip out my phone and we're like asking this woman for help, and it literally, it's like I'm presenting her a phone that says please speak English, and she literally immediately just starts laughing at us, which we deserved.
That's like the green text on 4chan, the classic one where they're playing soccer and the kid nails the other kid in the head with the soccer ball, and he means to say I'm so sorry and are you okay, but he says
are you sorry?
Are you sorry?
I feel like we've thoroughly embarrassed ourselves here. Wait, in Japan.
I just realized we're sitting from the darkest yellow to the lightest yellow.
Are we actually?
Yeah.
That.
Look at that.
Is.
That's.
You want to say?
I feel like that's inappropriate in all languages. I just like how this is the first time that we've had a garbage bag with a human torso in it as a guest on the
podcast.
It's
Nigel. He pissed the Yakuza off. They cut him up and gave him boobs. Is it hot in here or am I just saying stupid things?
So it turns out that Nigel and I took the challenge way too seriously, apparently.
Yes, and that's why you lost.
You guys did exactly what you needed to do. You just didn't show up on time because you would have
won.
We
took the train up a stop instead of down a stop. And then everybody acted like they were so surprised when we got lost. Because all we had is a map to get around.
You didn't even try to communicate that you guys were lost, though.
No, because how could...
You're supposed to be there at 2.
Well, we knew we were supposed to be there at 1. See, this is you trying to trick me.
It was one. Yeah, yeah, because you had the podcast at 1. And but, I guess we actually also just through sheer dumb luck were in the place we were supposed to be at the right time. We don't even know what time that was supposed to be.
So Nigel and I, we ran out of the park, like straight down into the subway, and we forgot to check what station we got on and what park we were at.
Right.
So we were looking at a map of Japan, and we had a map. It was like actually like the entire island of Japan. And we're like, okay, we're in Tokyo. Now, which park is it? And there's about a million parks in Tokyo.
It was Ueno, because it's the shady part of town, scary part. Apparently.
See, we went to the Imperial Gardens, and we're like, I don't remember this park having a moat around it. But there we are, standing with our thing.
It made me realize that GPS and Google Maps are some of the greatest inventions ever made. Like... Seriously, being able to just type something in and it tells you where to go is like not having that is honestly scary.
Yes. Thank you, US Army, for the GPS.
And Russia, because they shot down a plane or something like that.
What?
Yeah, Russia shot down a passenger plane in the 80s.
And that was
a big catalyst for releasing GPS because they drifted off the
course. I see.
Which passenger plane was it that Russia shot down specifically? Because there's been multiple.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, we actually have everything you would ever possibly need for this to not happen.
Yeah, exactly. And so then they released it, and then now you can, you know, figure out exactly where they sell
whatever's in that bag.
Yep.
Somehow the not being able to see it clearly makes it that much worse. It's almost like now you've got to imagine what's in there.
Here's a little fact. Yeah. Japan doesn't use GPS.
They don't?
They don't. They use their own system.
What's their own system?
The phone that I just bought, like a cheap phone, and it says that it uses the Japanese navigation system satellites.
Hmm.
Instead of It uses, I don't know, it uses four different types.
It's accurate within a half a mile.
There's not just GPS. There's like four or five different like global positioning networks all across the globe.
Do the phones use all of them or you just use one of them?
No, usually the phones have all the chips in them.
Okay,
just cool. In case you're traveling.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think? This is sort of the last
hurrah.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, we've been here for what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? What do you think?
How do we sell Japan?
Place? Yeah.
I think that Japan is, okay, so we did. Tokyo feels like it's in the future. Not that far in the future, but
a couple days.
It definitely feels like they're living. Well, technically they are, right? They're actually
yeah, we are. Yeah. We are almost an entire 11, day in the future.
11 hours for me.
We went to the countryside with PewDiePie yesterday to go off-roading. And when you go into the countryside, it feels like 50 years in the past, and then Tokyo feels like 50 years in the future.
And there's nothing in between.
There is no transition. It is just really old.
To rice paddies.
Yes. Like the instant you leave it's like it,
Tokyo
it's
rice paddies.
Exactly. It's completely filled with farming area. Like it's just a total night and day difference.
And it's not even like the giga farms that you see driving across America, too. It's like little, it's like a house on like a little acre of farmland.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird. Like you don't see anything like that.
I think like in the States, you'd normally see almost like a smooth transition into countryside,
city,
right?
Yeah. Suburbs.
City, suburb, and then it would just like gradually become
like
less
more
dense.
Rural, yeah.
But it's almost like there was almost like a line somewhere as we were driving where it just stopped.
Farms. But we got to go off-roading yesterday, and that was dope. Have you ever done that?
Cool. I had never been off-roading before, and it exhausted me in ways I didn't know my body was capable of being exhausted by.
It was terrifying. I mean, I've done it before, but this was different. It was like a course.
I've never had a workout driving before. Yeah.
So it was like a competition course, like a private course.
Like a technical off-road challenge. Yeah.
And
arena.
So everything is built to just be like hard enough but like safe enough,
because it's outdoors, but it's like there's like they've built structures that you have to like kind of drive over.
Yes.
And there's like kind of artificial hills and like little like a V-shaped log thing you have to drive down. If you're off by a little bit with your tires, the car just kind of like almost
the car would
over.
Actually like just
go on its side. You have to drive right down the middle correctly or you die.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of telephone poles stuck into the ground in like a V-shape, and you have to like the edge of the tire is like riding on the V, and so if you shift a little bit the car really starts to
it's like almost like a parkour course but
yes
for cars.
Carcore.
Yeah, parkour.
But I it was not safe. Like you could definitely flip your car there.
Well, they do.
They have. Yeah.
They have. Yeah. I mean, what's the fun if you can't destroy your car?
Well, it was their car.
What's the fun if you can't destroy someone else's car? That makes it way better.
Spoiler alert.
Can you say that Felix wrecked his car too?
Oh, yeah. It was
his brand new car. He took it off-roading. And, like, within a couple hours, it just was, like, missing a bumper and had a giant dent in the back.
His wasn't missing the bumper. He ripped someone else's bumper
off.
But his
was also, like, part of the back bumper got...
Going down
the V-ROM.
The freaking
exited and it crushed on the right side.
Yeah, that was great. That was fun.
That's like the kind of car you like. It's like if, I feel like if that didn't happen to that kind of Land Rover, you're not using it right.
What's the difference between Land Rover and Land Cruiser?
Land Rover is a brand. Land Cruiser is a Toyota model.
Oh, it was a Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
Land Cruiser.
So he had a Toyota Land Cruiser that was modified to look like an older Land Cruiser.
Right. Mm. It still kicked ass though.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Oh yeah, Land Cruiser is like the nice Toyota off-road vehicle. It's like the fancy. It's like the
fancier one.
The Range Rover of Land Rovers.
Did you guys ever see my old car?
Smaller
was
truck,
my
bigger
dad's
wheels.
Car.
No, I never saw
the 85 Toyota pickup.
No, I don't think I've ever actually seen.
Oh, my dad. We had two of them, and it's like the old small trucks, which I wish they still had, but I think the EPA killed them. It's like a half ton that was four-wheel drive, had a lock differential, and had big old tires on it. That thing could go anywhere. It was amazing.
Did you actually like take it off roading and stuff?
I didn't too much because it was my dad's, and I didn't, you know, it's not really like, also it's like if you go off roading you're gonna break the car.
Yeah,
you're going to break the car.
Yeah,
you, like that's half of it. It's like
you kind of have to break it so you just don't feel bad about scratching it up.
And so it's like I was just a college student. I was driving the extra car we had because my sister couldn't drive stick shift, and then my dad sold. It's a whole thing. But basically, I was driving like the only car that wasn't that no one else could drive or my dad could drive. But I basically drove it to school and back. Wasn't a great car. Never off-roaded it. It just was a car that I had to drive. Did a tiny bit of off-roading, not too much. But it's fun. You can just climb over things that you would never be able to climb over in a regular car. Yeah, it's bizarre.
They look like when you're going over like the rocks and stuff, because me and Kevin were like watching from a high tower at one point, it looks like a little toy car.
Yeah.
Like the amount the wheels can actually move.
And like how much it was bouncing around and just climbing over stuff.
You wouldn't think that like a full-size vehicle could like do that sort of thing.
Have you taken your Prius off-roading?
Yes. I think... Well, my Prius C, I think, could do that obstacle course exactly once, and then it would never do anything ever again.
You definitely could get over some of that stuff.
Yeah, that one really steep hill where you're, like, driving into the sky, I don't know if it could make it.
I don't think you can make it up there. I think you'd have trouble on the bouncy rocks, because it's, you're just, you don't have any
cooling. Oh, I think, the bottom of the car would actually just be
ruined. I think you could do the V, though, the V.
The V in the Prius.
Yeah, I think you could do the V in the Prius, yeah.
You might just be riding on your rims, like the outside of your rims. But you could do it.
You could do the lifted one too, like the side log. So there's one where you drive the car and you get up on like a concrete block, and so the car is at like a 35 degree angle.
Yeah, you could probably do that with the Prius C.
I think you could do that. Yeah. You're gonna be ripping the bumper off and stuff, but that's okay.
That's fine. I mean, like the car, it's at this point, it's like over 10 years old, and it's like
last hurrah.
We've like with your shaggin' wagon and the Prius C, like we've done bits before for videos where it's like we kind of just bang them into each other a little bit just because it's funny.
It is. It's also fun.
You could turn the shaggin' wagon into a battle shaggin' wagon.
I for the longest time have wanted to like jack it up.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Put some big wheels on it. I don't think it's really totally doable. Like I think those sorts of cars, like the unibodies, are not.
Oh yeah, great. And maybe like the way that how far the nose sticks out, and the back sticks out. You're just gonna rip them both.
I feel like
off.
It's like it's one of those things where it would take you months of work.
Yeah,
and I'm just like I don't want to do that.
Sounds like something Whistling Diesel would do.
Yeah,
actually the whole day felt like a Whistling Diesel.
Like a video.
Yeah, like a Whistling Diesel fever dream.
I mean, Whistling Diesel. What were those guys? They had their own like off-roading group. It was like a company that like
retrofits the cars.
Yeah. And it was almost like they kind of invited Felix out to just kind of like dick around, right? And they got some promotional footage.
Yeah.
But it was like they were genuinely like so kind of like nice and welcoming. And they did the thing that you kind of always wish that like a company would when they're trying to work with you.
Yeah.
Which is like they weren't like it didn't ever feel like slimy. It didn't ever feel like they were trying to like extract value from us. They were actually giving value.
Yeah, they're giving you an experience. They were like they just wanted you to have fun.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. A lot of people like you get emails all the time, people just saying like, "Oh, we want you to do this. We want you to do that." And a lot of times when you do work with people, they try to like take stuff.
It was like the one time, where was it? Were we in Florida where like we got invited to see like a quadcopter factory or something?
God.
And we showed up thinking that we were going to get like a cool tour and play with quadcopters. And then somehow we ended up on like one of their live streams and they started asking us for video ideas.
Yes, I remember.
They hated us at the end of that.
I think at one point on the live stream, I like started trying to eat the quadcopter because I was like, "Is this edible? How edible are your quadcopters?" I just start biting into it.
That was so frustrating.
Like, he stuck us in like this little box and had us review some quadcopters.
He's like just trying to like leech clout, and the whole time we didn't play with a single quadcopter when we were there.
Yeah, I think that if you're ever around us and we start becoming very like obtuse and chaotic and I don't know, how would you describe it?
It's like when you go to the doctor's office and they hit your knee with a hammer and you do that.
And you like, you're like very sarcastic. The more sarcastic I think we get, it means that we are, I don't know the word.
getting pushed to the limit.
Yeah, like frustrated where it's like, I'm not going to be a jerk, but I'm also not going to give you what you want.
It's like how you wish you could respond to your teachers in high school.
Yes,
I guess
I did that though, and I get in trouble.
Yeah, smart ass.
But so I mean that they like, you know, we had like a really good day out on their off-road track, and they like made us like an actual like really good.
Man, those guys were awesome.
Like grilled lunch, fresh yakisoba, egg. Yeah, it was so good.
It was extremely good.
And the whole time, it just like they never felt like they were asking too much.
It was like a 12-course lunch too. Like they just kept coming out with more and more food.
It was awesome. If you are a brand and you work with creators, don't try to weasel them. Just give them a cool opportunity. It's like it's like getting your friends to work in exchange for food, you know, like the food motivator.
Yeah.
Like, if you just give somebody a cool opportunity,
it'll naturally turn into like a product.
Yeah, it'll be better for you and probably cheaper.
Don't have them stand there like, I don't know.
Eating quadcopters and rating them on taste.
It reminds me when we were at Creator Clash, the boxing event, Michael's in the staging room before he went out for his fight. And the production team is like, you know, they're doing what they do, like the live stream. They're like, okay, now, like, we want you to do like the shadow boxing where you're sort of like punching there. So it gets intimidating, kind of sets the fight up with the two different people in each room that are preparing to go out into the arena. And Michael's like, can I do it in the bathroom? And they were like, maybe, but like, we'll do one in the bathroom, and then we'll do one outside just to be safe, just in case. And it's like, if you give production teams the choice, they usually almost always choose the clean one.
The bad one.
And so I'm like, Michael, punch really, really, like, just sort of like. And so he did that, and then guess what? They didn't use that one. He forced them to use the bathroom, the one where he's in the bathroom punching the air. I don't know. I value that experience. It was fun. It was like a really cool opportunity. Those guys are very cool. They clearly are just super into off-roading. They let us basically do everything. They were like pushing, you know, like Felix to push his car.
Yeah.
And there's dings and dents and the bumper's ripped off.
I feel like he kind of has some animosity towards me.
Why?
In a way, because I said, oh, let's go through the mud. And then I pointed.
Content.
And then I'm like, hey, can we go through the mud? And the guy's like, So he winds up and he goes into the mud,
and we just
like
immediately, like, the truck goes like 3 feet down into the just wet, swampy, no way it's ever coming out mud.
Yeah, you look at the top of that mud before we went in it, you would not have guessed how deep it was.
Felix just turns around and he's kind of like,
yeah, he doesn't do this stuff though. I feel like,
and I'm like, no, this is the authentic off-roading experience. Trust me.
I think a lot of people, I don't know. I feel like we look at stuff, or at least I look at stuff differently. Like, if I make something and I know how to like fix it or change it or whatever, I almost I'm so much more willing to like disrespect it and break it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'll just, you know, fix it or make another one.
Yeah, that's how you learn. You know, you can't learn your car's limits until you get stuck in 3 feet.
I mean, the only thing I say about a car is it's a lot more work to fix it. But that, I think, is generally the sport of off-roading, is pushing your car to the limit. And then, you know, obviously
having
dealing
to pull
with
your friends out of the mud.
Yeah, or fix stuff. Like, if you tried to drag someone out of, you know, off the side of the road and you rip their bumper off, they'd be freaking out a lot more than a person who off-roads getting their bumper ripped off, because it's just like a part of it. Like, it's not surprising.
And you're like, wow, I thought that bumper was supposed to be stronger. Okay, next time I'll put 3 bolts in it.
So I definitely can understand why somebody would be freaked out when they rip somebody's bumper off. And then the said bumper, big metal bumper, javelins back at your car and puts a huge dent in the back side of it. I mean, I wish we don't have that. They have it.
That's
on video.
Felix's fault.
I want to hear the thunk it made when it put that dent in the back of his car. That was the first time I've ever seen a toe or a pull like that go wrong, though.
Huh.
It's because he wound up. He like he went 5 feet
back.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And
then he went.
But how's he supposed to get the car out?
You're supposed to like.
No way.
No,
even we did it the other way.
To, like, rock it.
Yeah, but it was not working at all.
No. But that's because we were trying to pull it deeper into the mud.
Yeah, but even we did backwards, we couldn't get it out. It was a bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, what you're supposed to do if you pull something out, like, you can do a big pull like that. Not like a really big pull, but you're supposed to put like a spare tire or something in the middle of the toe strap.
Holding,
if it rips off, it doesn't like slingshot. And
but then how would you get
like
an awesome, cool, big dent in the back of your car?
I think the toe straps are designed for this, so it's not so big. Like, the videos of people trying to drag like a bush out of a car with chain, like, it kills people. Like, the chain is elastic, like, you know, the metal is elastic, so it starts stretching. So as the car is like pulling and the object is resisting, the chain is like stretching. And then when it breaks, that stretching now has a lot less weight attached to the end of it. And so it just comes careening forward and it kills people. Like, people 100% do die when the like
a couple times every year. People die from that.
But I think toe straps are not, they're not as elastic,
they're
so they don't
gonna,
stretch
like,
as much.
Pull the part off the car as fast as you were going.
They don't store as much energy. Yeah. Like, I think that's half of the point of a toe strap, is it's a very, 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 very stiff material.
But you should always put like your floor mats or your like a spare tire, put the toe strap through it, or put the mats on it just in case something bad happens.
Right. That's actually
toast wraps contain
such a good pro tip. I remember you saying that to me literally moments before the exact thing happened, which is the reason why you should do that. Because we were saying, you're like, oh, that's fun. Usually you have to put like a spare tire on that. I was like, oh, and then poof.
Yeah.
I think if it's not a toast wrap, you probably shouldn't do it at all. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think you really need it. I mean, you probably, if you, maybe the best situation.
I think it can still.
So anyway, toast wrap contain little to no elasticity, making them perfect for towing vehicles. Due to the lack of give in a toast wrap, they should not be used for yanking a stuck vehicle out of whatever it's stuck in. Well, shit.
Well,
even though toast wraps should not be used for aggressive tugging, they still have a place in recovery. So I think that if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're off-roading and you have a toast wrap and you do it what we did because you had no other option. Is there a better way?
Everybody's going to say don't do it, and everybody has done it.
Yeah, they're going to say don't do it, and the reason they know that is because they were in a situation where it was like, what are you going to do, call somebody? You're going to call a helicopter out to lift you out of the dirt? No.
Yeah, I really can't imagine like sort of how like we would have ever done something like that without like being invited to do it, you know, like trying to set up a whole day like that. It's kind of ridiculous. I'm glad that we've had like a lot of things like that here so far. It's not so much that's like once in a lifetime. So it's not even about like statistics, just like things that you just normally would not be able to do.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. Cause I think that like there's things you could do in your hometown because you know people, your friends do something, and like there's no way to gain access to those experiences,
right,
and that's what happened yesterday. Was like, you know, Felix, you know, made acquaintances with these guys, which then gave us access to this off-roading club.
Yeah.
That how many people even know of its existence that don't live in, not even in Tokyo, but like outside of Tokyo,
2-hour drive outside of Tokyo. Or like, are we allowed to talk about like the Patreon extra challenges, like
the
wasabi thing?
Yeah.
Cause like that's also something like we did like sort of this challenge where we had to eat really nice sushi, but one of the really
Michelin,
nice sushi.
Michelin star what? Michelin star recognized or actually Michelin
he
star?
He was a Michelin star.
Michelin star chef.
And then his restaurant got demolished by the like property
by
owner.
The Michelin man.
He took it back. He took the star back.
He was mad.
But it's like you know, that's something you would never even like. When do you get to do a wasabi roulette with a Michelin star chef? That's not even something you could kind of like do, like just run into by happenstance, you know. But we got to do it as like a surprise.
Yeah. He hated it though. He's like, he felt so bad that he was defiling
his food.
Yeah, and he felt bad for us too because it was a lot of wasabi. Someone kept pushing for him to add more and more and more wasabi until we couldn't take it anymore. I'm looking at Ian off screen, by the way.
Nervous laughter.
No, I actually really liked it. I think my favorite part was just trying to pretend that it didn't affect me, and it's just having it slowly, clearly affect me.
It did. It was not great.
It's okay.
And everything hurts. Yeah, we've done so much stuff here. I'm like fried. It's like every single day. Mm-hmm. It does not stop.
Yeah.
We were like 8 hours yesterday.
The crazy thing is it's so much walking. It's like, what, 20,000? Yeah. Like at one point we record like 30,000 steps.
Did we actually?
Multiple 20,000 day steps.
Yeah. And
20,000 step days.
I swear to God, I am still gaining weight because we've been eating so much.
I'm curious if I've gotten.
I weighed myself and I.
Where'd you find a scale?
I lost weight. It's in the bathroom.
You lost weight.
Is there a scale here?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, upstairs bathroom.
Wait, I'm gonna go.
You're
get
going
the scale.
Right now.
No, not the bathroom.
Wait.
The like.
Hand away
the
scale. The
other room, the shower room.
Can you get it?
Okay. So we can find out if we've gained weight and how much. The scale is tiny. God.
Oh shit! It says air.
Are you sure this is a scale for adult gaijin?
Here, push the button to reset it.
85 kilograms.
How much is 85 kilograms in American?
187 pounds.
Whoa! 187? Is that more?
That's more.
How much you gain?
I don't know, like 5 pounds?
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm scared. I'm really scared. Fuck. All right, wait, how does this work? You step on it.
Oh no!
It's not turning on. I think
it's the button
it's
on
had,
the bottom.
It's had enough.
God, how did this happen?
Wait, first to zero.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
When the last time?
Oh fucking Christ! 96 kilograms.
211 pounds.
Holy Christ, I also gained a lot of weight. That's easily like 6-7 pounds.
I'm usually like 60.
Oh my God. No.
We should not have done this. No. Why did we do this?
Oh no, okay. So I'm 70. So I'm like 2 pounds.
You gained 2 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh my.
That's 154, that's regular.
154.
Okay, yeah, that's regular. God, no. I was in Australia in 2019, the beginning of 20, or the end of 2019, and Ian went to the hospital, and I got on the scale at the hospital, and I was like, oh, I think the scale's broken. Or I was doing the conversion wrong, and that's when I realized that I had gained weight. This is a very similar moment, and I don't.
Yeah, wow. I cannot. It feels like when you walk that much, you couldn't possibly gain weight.
That's what I've been telling myself.
Unless you eat much more than normally and more than enough to offset the activity.
I was confident that I would lose weight. I was like, I actually was 100% certain. I was like, there's no way. Walking this much.
Japanese people tend to be very thin, and we were living their life. We clearly weren't living their lifestyle. Whatever we were doing is not what they're doing here.
What were we doing wrong? Was it the beer or the food? Or maybe the beer and the food?
Might have been entirely too much food, yeah.
I don't know. I've had fun, though. I would come back. I definitely really wanted to come back to Japan since last time we were here.
I extended my stay. We figured out that the Trash Taste producer had like a spare room. And so I put my flight out for like five more days.
We've done a lot of coin pushers.
Yes. Medaru. Coin pusher.
So if you guys haven't heard, there's this thing called coin pushers.
AKA medals.
Medals. I don't think that's what they're actually called, but that's what we call them.
It's a thing.
That's is what it?
They're, it's called medals? Like with the D as in like a...
Medals. Yeah, because those are the things, the tokens, the medals.
You may have played coin pushers at like a Chuck E. Cheese or Dave & Buster's, but these are the greatest coin pushers I have ever seen. They might actually have some of these in the States, but I've never seen them. There's like 1,000 things going on at the same time. I don't understand any of it. And you can't win prizes. You don't win money. It's not even gambling. You lose your money. And it's like a very healthy relationship. It's like, I understand the machine's goal. I understand what I'm here for.
It's here to extract medals from me.
It takes my money. I know it's going to take my money. There's no possibility of me getting anything in return except just stimulation. And I love it.
Yeah, I think this was a blog post that I found where we were looking for where the medals were in Japan.
Okay.
And this is probably the most accurate. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect. So what they say is, all you need to do at any of these games is insert medals, watch the show, and wait for the result. What do you do with the medals you get when you win? Nothing. You can play longer and you can save your medal balance for another day, but that's it. That's the existential beauty of it. There are no prizes and no stakes, just gambling, the chance to gamble again, and the inevitability of ruin. It's relaxing.
Once you know what your fate is, you can finally be at ease.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure that gets taken off knowing you can't win.
Yeah. Yes. It's like the faster you shove them in, the faster you lose. You're going to lose.
Yes.
Yeah.
You literally can't win.
So you want to prolong it.
Like, yeah, I think the way we figured it out, because you'd think that at a certain point, if the machine gets saturated with medals, you would get one in, one out. But I think what we figured out.
I've tried putting them in as fast as I can.
I think most of them have a mechanic where you know the holes.
Yeah.
Where the coins fall into and gives you a slot run. I'm pretty sure that's how they make sure that's always a negative return. Because that way, like, the coins don't always get sent back to you. Some of them escape the system.
I think they also don't give you one medal in return for a medal.
No way. You think there's, like, a deficit?
I don't know.
One-to-one.
How like would a 1.9 return.
1.1. Yeah. Yeah. Like, the house always wins.
I
mean, they could. They could.
It, like, makes me want to get one and just sit there all day. Or maybe get one that you just, like, automatically feed coins into
and just watch it
you ever
like a lava lamp.
I remember you ever play Super Smash Bros and just set all the
like 99 stock and you just have them go at it.
It's like background
you
noise.
Put all of the crazy stuff on, like all the items.
Shut up.
Oh my God, Chadi, he's got something to input here.
What set him off? Thank you. Oh my God, thanks, now he's listening again. He's going to listen to whatever we're saying. He's going to keep going until we're just quiet for 30 seconds.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
Bean sprouts, and then he said, I've been waiting for you. And then he said, don't overdo it, which I think is good advice.
Thank you, Charlie, for your absolutely useless advice.
Bean
feel
sprouts,
free to chime in
I've
whenever you want.
I've been waiting for you. Is that a haiku? Don't overdo it.
Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. That's five.
Okay.
I think, you know, when you go to an arcade, like, so last time I went to an arcade in the States, I played Coin Pushers. It was like a Wizard of Oz themed one. Mm. I feel like we've talked about this a little bit.
Oh, wait. Maybe. I did one with Nigel at Dave and Buster's as Wizard. Oh, my God. I have a story about that. I have a story about that.
Wait, which one is this?
So,
The Wizard of Oz?
The Wizard of Oz Coin Pusher Dave and Buster's.
So, the way it works, because we played the exact same, I think, mechanism, is there's coins and cards. Because sometimes they stick random shit into the coin pushers as well. If you collect all seven cards, you can redeem like 3,000 tickets.
Yes.
And so when I was playing last time, I had six cards and a bunch of duplicates of the six. And I was like, all I need is this stupid dog, Toto, or as I call him, Crap.
This isn't my story?
We have lived through this exact same thing.
Okay.
So you can get six cards very easily. And I walked around the machine several times, like really searching for it, and realized that none of them had the damn dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game, it's like it's a sham. They tell you, they make you think that if you collect all the cards, leave me alone.
So you can't see which cards, like face down.
No, you can see them. You can see the machine.
But they only inject the six of them into the machine, and that one Toto gets sporadically shoved in. So the only card worth anything is Toto.
Yeah. So it's like when you get one card, it shoots another one in.
No, it's just like random. I don't know. But it's like, does that make sense? Like the other cards mean nothing. The real win is getting the dog. Yeah. So you don't even need to collect them all. All you need is the damn dog.
Yeah.
That's the hard to get card.
Because everything else is super easy.
Yes.
Yeah. So wait, was there anything else that happened?
No.
Okay. So
all I did is I confronted the manager and I said,
"Yours is a little better." Yeah. Okay. Because I was in a very similar situation where you easily win all the other cards except Toto,
the damn dog.
And what happened was, I was looking around all the machines. There was another woman who was playing, and she was, you know, she was getting cards as well. And I had gotten to the point where I actually had so many duplicates. I had like two or three of every card. There's like six cards. That means I had, 20 or 30 cards, except for Toto.
Yes.
I had amassed a massive amount of cards. And looking around the machines, I saw there was one Toto in one of the machines.
And the woman sitting.
And the woman was sitting at that machine.
Because she knew.
Well, here's the thing. I went up to her just trying to kind of casually, you know, see if I could kick her off, right? Just like starting conversation, but with other means. I was like, oh, that's the only one, Toto. And she was like, yeah, I already have one. And she showed me her Toto. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, would you trade for it? Could I get on this machine maybe and get, because I have six. I have so many of these. I have six. I just need Toto. And she said, no, I want that Toto. And I was like, well, you've already got, I'll trade you because we can both get all seven. We can both get like 3,000 tickets.
Yeah.
I will give you any number of the rest of this full set.
So she doesn't have any other cards.
She had a Toto and like a handful of, but so she said no. She said no. She only wanted the Toto. And so.
Dude, gambling just destroys people's brains.
I could not convince her. And so I was kind of like stalking the area and waiting for her to leave.
She's
so that
never
I could
leave.
Get the last Toto.
That woman was ready to spend $100 to get that card.
So here's what happened is shortly after, like I'm hanging around the coin pusher and the manager came out. It was me and Nigel and I was holding on to a stupid toy crossbow for him. I had a backpack and Nigel had bought a toy crossbow.
It was like a Nerf gun crossbow.
Yeah. And he didn't even end up taking it with him to Canada, but I was holding on to it all day for him. So sticking out my backpack.
Yeah.
And the manager goes, hey, sorry, like I know you guys aren't causing any trouble actually, but we've gotten a complaint that you've got the crossbow and we gotta ask for you to bring it up to the front. And we're like we're not kicking you out, but you can't be wearing the backpack with the crossbow. And I was like, okay, fine. So like I go up to the front, we talk it out, we like figure out a place to put it in a locker. The lady promises she's gonna look after it because it's like all of my stuff in that backpack. We were traveling. And by the time I came back, the woman was gone, the Toto was gone. And I had to for half. I was like, did the woman call the manager on me so that she could get the Toto away from me in peace. Because now she's got every Toto in Florida, and she's gone. She's left.
No. She probably, like, had to go and get some more money, but she couldn't leave her station. So she had to, like, she call
in a bomb threat that I had the bomb.
I think if you take this whole story and you distill it down to the essence, you get about 3,000 tickets for the Toto card, or if you have the whole set. And 3,000 tickets just gets you some trash.
Yes.
This woman was literally fighting you over what turns into, like, maybe a couple dozen army men and a some candy.
Yeah.
I don't think she... I think she wanted... She was feeding off of misery at that point. I think
why do you
my
think...
disappointment was worth more than any number of tickets for her.
Yes. What if I told you that you can go right now onto eBay...
No.
Yes, and buy a Toto card.
I will buy every single one.
You can, like, that card is actually worth less than $30. Like, it's like $20. Like, that woman spent more money getting the Toto.
Yes.
Than she could ever get selling it. And she, what she really got.
Yes.
Was making you feel bad.
Yes.
That was the joy she got.
She wasn't after the set.
No.
She was only after keeping Toto out of my hands.
I bet she threw that thing in the trash.
Burned it.
Yeah.
Burned it right after.
I think that's the thing. Like, people are just as happy losing money if it makes somebody else suffer too.
Oh, that's like a legitimate study that people do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even think you need a study. I think your one piece of evidence is enough to convince me that people are petty. I mean, for Christ's sake, like, you go to the arcade to have fun, and there's somebody there who's, like, trying to interact with you. You already have one. Like, just come on.
the fact, too, that she was gone. By the time I came back, she not only, like, she didn't want to play any other games. She got the last Toto, and then she left.
You know, like, 3 years ago, what was Mr. Beast's convention called? What do they call the one? It was near the...
Vid Summit.
So Jimmy, after Vid Summit, took a bunch of people to Dave and Buster's and gave everybody, like, a you know, got a ticket token card with, I don't know how much money it was.
Yeah.
And we got, 8,000 tickets, some insane number of tickets because there was so much credit on the card. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting there looking at the prizes and I'm like, I don't want any of this shit. And so we went and found a kid and just gave him the card that had, like, 8,000 tickets.
Awesome.
And I'm like, I don't want any of this stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm here to have fun. And I look at any of that stuff and I can just think, like, I'm not going to have fun buying this stuff. I don't really want candy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just have to, I'm going to throw it away. Like, whatever I get, I'm throwing away. I don't want it. Here, kid. Here's something that I would have been totally stoked as a kid. Someone just handing me a giant pile of tickets.
I guarantee the carbon footprint of a Japanese coin pusher versus an American Dave and Buster. Nothing goes in the garbage with a Japanese coin pusher. No. It's just value into thin air.
It's also a great value, in my opinion. Like, we spent 1,000 yen each, which is about
$7.50.
Yes.
And we coasted on that for 2 hours.
It was the price of a matinee ticket, and it was better than most movies I've seen.
If I could trade prizes for more time on the machine, I would do that. So it's like, you can either have an hour on the machine and some shitty prizes, or an hour and a half and no prizes. Give me the hour and a half.
Yeah, although sometimes you do get a dog shit run. I think, like, last night, 1,000 yen got us about half an hour. It was really sad. We just lost it all immediately.
I was on the machine in Osaka and I put, like, I think 1,000 yen of coins, which was like...
10 bucks.
It was like
not even 7 bucks.
10 bucks. I think it was like a couple hundred coins. Mm. And I was done in like 5 or 10 minutes. And I was like pissed. But then I put 1,000 yen in here, at Shinjuku or wherever we were. And I went for like an hour. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Was that Osaka where we discovered coin pushers? Reggie and I?
The fish game, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
I've been trying to remember where that one was.
Yeah, the fishing
and it's
one.
You can't go back.
You guys rederived the entire game just from like watching a pair of Japanese.
You know, she helped you too.
She showed us how to play like charades.
She was putting her own 100 yen.
100 yen coins into our machine.
What?
To show you how to do it.
See, that's what happens when you know you can't win any prizes.
Some of the coins themselves, of the actual medals, are like, they're like really really shitty like Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You put those into the machine, but there's also some of them have a secondary slot for actual money, yes, for 100 yen coins. Yes. Like they're trying to goad you into putting more money in. It works.
Do it every time.
Every time it asks me, you bet your ass I put 100 yen in.
I think that's how
70 cents or 80 cents in the States? Like, that's not, it's like a buck basically. Like that's,
I mean,
that's,
yeah, you know, but have you played arcade like games? It costs that much to play like one game of skee ball.
That's true.
It's like 75 cents, and that's gone like that.
Yeah. So, and some of the machines, the metals machines have just absolutely batshit mechanics. Like there's, I don't know how to describe it because I genuinely don't understand what's going on most of the time. But like they have games within the game and like games within those games. Yes. And it like the whole thing, like there's like a turret, like a huge like billboard that will rotate and reveal different games to different players.
Yes.
And like if you play that game, then sometimes something else happens. And in the one that we found that we like the most, well, there's the fishing one, which is like there's a fishing game within the metals game. And there's like the floats.
Upgrading your rod as you're playing Coin Pusher to catch bigger and bigger fish.
Then you can upgrade your hooks too or something. God.
And fish economy. And then there's the crowning achievement. I feel like people may have seen some
Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel. Did you just make that? That's not what it's called.
Is it actually called the Tower of Babel? The entire game like background is that you're trying to build the Tower of Babel.
Okay, well, apparently that's religious.
Well, because when you think about it, because the whole point of the Tower of Babel was they were trying to build a tower to heaven, and then God knocked it down, and that's how everyone couldn't.
They got speak. That close.
Well, yeah, because that he made sure that everyone spoke different languages, and that's sort of the genesis of different languages.
How high is heaven?
Kilometer.
They were able to build a tower nearly a kilometer high.
Well, the point is,
they blamed it on God.
It couldn't have been my shitty construction.
It's almost like you're both God and the people at that point because you're trying to build a tower, but you also want to knock it down.
Yes, which is an excellent position to be in. So what you do, and by the way, I have no idea what you actually do, but you do things, and then at some point, the entire pushing, the push rod, the shelf that pushes the coins for, it completely retracts and reveals this little round hole that builds a coin tower. And then you have to play another game, or you have to like put coins in. I still don't really know how it works.
I think that's just designed to get a lot of coins away from you very fast.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's like you have to fight this battle. By
I want that.
Coins
I want it
in,
though.
Like, as fast
they think
as you can.
They think that they're getting and me, each, but they're not. I enjoy it.
Each level of damage you do, you unlock like a
hurt
new
me. Take my coins.
Reward. So if you put like 5 coins in, no, if you put like 50 coins in, you get like a 5 coin reward. If you put like, you know, if you manage to get 100 in, you get 20 coin reward.
I built a really tall tower though. I don't really remember how.
Yeah.
Mine was the biggest.
Yeah, yours is pretty big. But then it became a problem because it was so heavy
that it
couldn't push it anymore. Yeah. So you're feeding coins.
Yes.
What?
You know, we're going to have to go to a metals arcade tonight and provide some context for this segment.
Cool. Can we film in the metals? They're going to get mad. We can
probably
cheese it.
No, yeah, they're definitely
going to get mad. What if we just cheese it, though?
This is a business expense.
Yeah. Oh, we can buy way more now. Oh. We could buy like $110,000 worth of medals.
They let you buy up to 32 million medals. At that point, it's got to be credit. It's not
Yeah,
literally
they can't
a
give you the coins.
Because
they literally just give you, okay, let's go through the whole experience. All I can think about right now is medals. All right. So imagine this. You walk into an arcade. You go up to like the fourth floor because God forbid they put this on the bottom floor. I think there's something about it that they're ashamed of. So they push it way up. You walk in. You go to a little machine, a little kiosk. And you put your money in, and then there's a bunch of buttons, and it's very difficult to figure out which one to push. So you call the employee over and you say, a 3,000. You say 3,000. And then they figure out the sequence of buttons you need to push to get the 3,000 coins, I guess 1,500 coins for 3,000. Mm. Then they like a bucket drops down, like a coffee machine, like a coffee vending machine, a big plastic bucket drops. Yeah. And then the noise, the greatest noise you've ever heard in your life starts happening. Coins,
it's like you hit the jackpot.
It's like you hit
it's
the
really
jackpot.
It's really the only time you'll feel like you won.
Yes. And it's just raining coins, and it fills the bucket up. It's like 500 coins, and then it stops, and you have to pull it out, and then another bucket drops down. And it is the greatest.
Also, I think I've just realized something because it's 3,000, even because it's you get sort of like more coins the more money put in.
Yes.
So we would pool it. And so at that one place, there's 3,000 yen for 1,500 coins. You realize just renting one of those coins is 2 yen.
Two yen.
So each of those coins to just have for a small amount of time is worth more than a yen.
Yes.
Like the yen, the physical yen yes. coin.
Is worth less.
Is worth less than one of the yes. arcade tokens that you are borrowing correct. For about an hour.
Correct. I feel like the US penny is in a very similar predicament. I don't know why they keep making it. Like, it's actually like a conspiracy. It should be a real conspiracy. So why do they keep making this shit coin? We found the actual shit coin. Turns out the shit coin was a real coin all along. Join us for our Patreon extra where we eat the weird astronaut food that we bought in Japan. Have you ever seen Japanese food turn into astronaut ice cream? It's probably going to taste bad.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.